Hey guys, we're so excited to share this message with you on the Center Set podcast. My name is Ethan and I lead worship here at Center Set. We'd love for you to download our app so that you can keep up with all that is happening in our community. Text Center Set to 77977 to download.
What's up, church? Who's excited to be in church today? Come on. For those of you that are new, my name is Ali, my beautiful wife and I. We started Center Set 2 years ago. It's crazy. Feels like 2 years is not that long, but it feels like since quarantine, it feels like forever. But 2 years ago, we started a church in the heart of the most unchurched region in the entire country to reach not only Christians, but a church that unchurched people would love to attend. So if you're new to church, your first time, I promise you this next 30 minutes, you're going to feel encouraged, you're going to feel challenged and inspired. It's the best 30 minutes of your week. And today, I want to talk about a subject that I've been talking about with many pastors around the country. This is not like a West Coast, the best coast kind of issue. This is an issue that people in Washington and Texas and Colorado and Hotlanta, Georgia, Boston, New York, even Detroit, across the country, people are seeing this. I want to speak to you today on this idea. Maybe you're dealing with this at home, that maybe you've lost your spiritual passion for God. Maybe because of the complications of this COVID season, there was a time where you were intensely intimate with God, that you were really, really close to Him. Yeah. And you would hear His voice and He'd lead you and you felt His presence in your life. And every time you read the Word, it felt like God was speaking directly to you. But somewhere along the way, the passion that you once had has waned. And the enthusiasm for the things of God have left. And maybe that's you. Maybe the passion, the enthusiasm you once had is not there anymore. I want to let you know this sermon is, this message is for you. And I understand. I got saved when I was 24. I spent most of my college years, you know, living the wild life. Anyone have a wild past? Come on. We were building our testimony. Come on. Making Jesus look better. And my sin didn't catch up to me until I was post-college. And it was a time in my life where I hit rock bottom, began to search and seek out, does God really exist? And it was the faith and evangelism of my sister that led me to have a radical encounter with God. And the best way I can describe it is I changed literally overnight. One day I'm the party wild guy, and the next week I'm the Jesus wild guy. And one week I'm in the bars and clubs, and the following week I'm in Barnes and Nobles reading about Jesus. And I had this passion for Jesus. I was just low on wisdom. I mean, I'm just letting you know, I wore Jesus, cheesy Jesus t-shirts, Jesus hats. I mean, I was a software engineer. I would put verses on my computer screen. So when people came in, I'm like, got him. You got to see the verse because you know I'm Christian. I would wear jewelry on the outside of my shirt to let everyone know I'm a Christian. I almost bought what's called a Jesus watch. Somebody's like, Pastor Alec, what is a Jesus watch? For those of you at home, I'm going to put this image on the screen. That, as disgustingly ugly as it is a Jesus watch. Some of you are concerned. Some of you are excited. Some of you are confused. Listen, I was too. I just had this passion. I wanted everyone to know about the one who had changed my life.
Yeah.
And when I accepted Christ at the age of 24, I was an engineer, but I immediately felt this call to become a pastor. And I wasn't going to leave my job, so I just started serving in my church anywhere and everywhere that gave me an opportunity. And in my church, every year we'd go to Mexico and we served there for a week, and on returning, our pastor would give four people the opportunity to get on stage and give their testimony. Yeah. And that year, my pastor asked me, it was a dream come true. I could finally do something pastoral. I invited my family, my friends came, and even though I only spoke for 4 minutes, listen, I spent maybe 20 hours preparing that. I'm telling you, I practiced every day in my back. Squirrels became Christians because I was preaching to them. They need to get baptized, go to growth track, like some of you at home. But I remember it was a year or two later, my pastor, he asked me to be a pastor. Wow. If you fast forward 3 years from that moment, somewhere along the way, I lost my passion. And I don't know how. I remember at the time I was engaged with Pastor Yasmin, and I was over at her parents' house, and I'm in the dining room and she's in the living room with her parents watching TV, and she hears me huffing and puffing and just like throwing books around, and she comes in and goes, babe, why are you stressed out? I'm like, oh, I gotta write another sermon. My wife, she's very prophetic. She tells you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. And she's like, you realize, Allie, that you're complaining about the thing that you pray for. And I had this fiery passion for God, and it had left. And I want to speak to those of you today that you had this passion for God before COVID. Yeah. And now your passion for God, the things of God, has waned. This message is for you.
Yeah.
The title of my today's talk is It's Time. Someone say it's time.
It's time.
It's time to get your passion back. And let me pray before we begin. Thank you, God, so much, God, for what you are going to do today. No matter where people are watching from, whether from YouTube, their living room, Facebook, God, would you do what we can't do? Would you do something in our heart that is supernatural, God? Would you help us by the power of your word and by the power of your spirit bring back that passion for you, Jesus? And everybody said,
amen.
And with some passion, everybody said,
amen.
Say amen in the chat room. Get excited for what God wants to do in your life today. And I'm not sure if you've noticed this, but there are two types of people in the world. There are those that let their circumstance influence their enthusiasm. And then there are those that let their enthusiasm influence their circumstance. There are two types of people. Those that let COVID, fear, panic, the economy influence their mood, their attitude, their environment. And then there are those that let the enthusiasm of God influence their family, their home, all of those around them. There are two types of people. Those that are thermostats and those that are thermometers. You don't know who you are until the heat of life hits you. And I love this theme of enthusiasm. It's really two Greek words. On theos. On is the word in. Literally means in. Theos, have you ever heard the word theology? It's the study of God. Theos is God. So enthusiasm literally means, write this down, to be in God, to be filled with God. And this isn't something that you manufacture. You look in the mirror like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do this. No, you don't manufacture. This is where you get alone in the presence of God. And by the power of God, He puts something supernatural in you that can never be produced by man's effort. I love what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, but thank God. Somebody say, thank God.
Thank God.
Someone say it with enthusiasm. Say, thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God that He gives us victory over sin and death. And let me just pause for a moment, because there are many of you that have enthusiasm, but it has not yet been expressed. Let me read that verse again. Let's get excited about what that verse says. But thank God that He gives us victory over sin and death. Can we give God an amen this morning? That He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically. Someone say enthusiastically.
Enthusiastically.
Enthusiastically for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Other translations say is never in vain. And the principle that Paul wants to communicate to us, and I'd write this down, is it's not what you do that makes it meaningful. It's who you do it for. It's not what you do that makes it meaningful. It's who you do it for. It's not the task or the title or the activity. It's who you're doing it for. And maybe, for example, some of you at home, you ever turn your lights off at home when you take a bed at night? If you don't do that at home, you can save a lot of money, listen, by turning off your lights when you go to bed at night. And I hate doing this, just being transparent. But I began to love it when Pastor Yaz says, I like it, Ali, when you turn the lights off. That makes me feel loved. And so guess who's now doing karate chops around the house to turn the lights off, right? Guess who's doing it with enthusiasm? Because it's not what I'm doing that makes it meaningful. It's who I'm doing it for. And when I come back to the bedroom, I'm like, honey, do you know where your husband has been? I've been braving the elements outside, turning off the lights for you. Do you feel the enthusiasm, honey, in the bedroom? Because it's not, listen, it's not what you do that makes it meaningful. It's who you do it for. And whatever you do, do it for the Lord. The best way I can explain this is when you have this heart posture, mundane things become meaningful. I remember one of my pastor friends, very close to me, he was traveling and he met the most enthusiastic, energetic woman he's ever met in his life. And he met her of all random places, the kiosk at an airport. Like, you do not equate energy and enthusiasm with the airport. That's the most boring place in the world. But this woman was different. She had a joy. She had a passion for her job that literally didn't make sense. She would literally, most, if you ever see most people at the airport, they have their headphones on, they're on their phone, they're ignoring. This woman was the opposite of that. She was singing to people as they walked by, like this angelic voice, like, oh my gosh, you look so good today. And my friend, he's walking by, like, you know, like just focused on himself. And this woman begins to sing to him, hey, you in the black shirt, you look good today. Like, she wasn't flirting. She was saying, like, you look good today. And he looks at his shirt. He's like, oh my gosh, she's singing about me. He gets embarrassed and he keeps walking. But there was this energy at the airport. People weren't laughing. They were encouraged. She was encouraging people as they walked by. And isn't it so interesting that this woman did not let the boring airport dictate her mood. She let what was in her, the enthusiasm, dictate the energy in the airport. My friend's like, I need to hire this woman. So he goes over to her, like, you know, chit-chat, like, do you want to work for me? Because I want you to be my head greeter at my church. And she's like, no, obviously, different city. And he's like, can you explain, like, why you're doing this? Like, well, you know, the airport's boring. He's like, no. Like, why are you, you know, doing this? He's like, well, I think you know. He's like, I think I know, too. I just want to hear you say it. He's like, well, he has a name. And this woman begins to sing the name of Jesus. My pastor, these two people were singing about Jesus in an airport, embracing, hugging. Who does that? Right? Someone who's been changed. Someone who's been transformed. Someone with gratitude in their heart. Thanks God who gives us victory over sin and death. The entheos, this enthusiasm for the things that you and I may see as mundane, but they're meaningful because it's not what we do, it's who we're doing it for. And there are some people who have passion for God, but then they lost it. I want to speak to those of you listening at home that you're experiencing that. You're not the only one. There's a man in the Bible by the name of David. Somebody say David.
David.
If you're new to church, David is a shepherd boy who becomes king. And he's the kid who becomes king. If you've never heard of this story, he's one of eight brothers, and he becomes very, very famous over a battle that he faces, David versus Goliath. Some of you hear this talk in sports radio. It's like, oh, the underdog is beating the overachiever, the one who's expected to win. No, these are real people. David really fought a dude named Goliath. There's this war in the scriptures between the Philistines and the Israelites. And instead of going to war, everyone fighting, they would send a representative from each country. And whoever won, that country would win. And the Philistines had a 10-foot giant UFC fighter, put them all in one body, a giant named Goliath. And for 40 days, no Israelite had the courage to fight him. They didn't have the courage that only comes from God. And David, he's at home because he's 15. And his dad says, I want you to take this Jewish charcuterie board to your brothers on the battlefield. And so he takes his cheese and snacks to his brothers. And as he shows up to the battle scene, because he wasn't there to fight, he was there to take food to his brothers. He hears this giant talking trash, like Draymond Green, like, whoa, who is this guy? And I want you to hear his words and how confident he is, not in himself, because he's 15, but in his God. Let me read you these words. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Have you ever watched the documentary series, The Last Dance, between Michael Jordan and the rest of the NBA? No one talks trash like Michael Jordan. That is known until David. Michael Jordan learned from this guy. This guy is, look what he says next. It's so crazy. But this day, the Lord, someone say the Lord. The Lord, not me, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Wow, that is confident for a 15-year-old. And this very day I will give the carcass of the Philistine armies to the birds. You ever watch those mafia movies? Give them to the fishes. I'm going to kill them and throw them in the water. David coined another phrase. Give them to the birds. Give them to the birds. I'm going to give the army to the birds and the wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. That is what in Theo sounds like. That's what it looks like. How does a 15-year-old kid have that kind of passion that does not come from him but comes from God when an entire army of Israelites, UFC fighters who are trained to fight, were scared and couldn't go forward? How does a woman at the airport sing when everyone else is bored out of their mind? Where do we get that kind of passion and enthusiasm? That's my question. What do you do when you have that and then you lose that? David had it. And he had three things that he did in his life that helped him have this enthusiasm, this in theos. If you're taking notes, there are three things I want you to write them down. Number one, he trusted God daily. He trusted God daily. Number two, he walked with God daily. He walked with God daily. Number three, if you're writing this down, I listen, I say this all the time in the center, if you want to go to heaven and you want to get there, you're more likely to get there if you take notes in church. Pastor Allie, what does that mean? Like, you're 95% more likely to go to heaven if you take notes in church. I want you to write these three down. He trusted God daily. He walked with God daily. Number three, he worshiped God daily. Church, what's the one thing that is common in all three of those?
Daily.
That's right, daily. Daily he walked with God. Daily he trusted God. Daily he worshiped God. How did a kid beat a giant? See, this is not the first time that he trusted God for victory. David was a shepherd boy. Multiple times he had to protect his sheep from foxes because he trusted God. Then he had to trust God for the bear. Then he had to trust God for the lion. Goliath is not the first victory in David's life. It was faith after faith, trusting after trusting. This is the dude that wrote the Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I lack nothing. He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He makes me walk along the straight path for his name's sake. Even though I walk, come on, through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Daily he trusted God. Daily he walked with God. Daily, listen, he worshiped Jesus. And it wasn't just this one time. There was this one time where the Ark of the Covenant is brought back to Israel. Pastor Yali, what in the heck is the Ark of the Covenant? You ever see Indiana Jones? Come on now. They had this box with the presence of God. That's a real thing. That's where the presence of God was in the temple. But these Philistines had taken it, and now it was coming back, and David was so excited. He had so much in-feel, so much enthusiasm. He started EDM Old Testament style, dancing down the street for hours on end because he was overjoyed what God was going to do again in their lives. So much so that his wife was actually embarrassed and made fun of him, but he couldn't contain himself. Listen, church. That kind of daily trusting, daily walking, daily worshiping is not clicking a YouTube video once a week. It's not driving to a building once a month to sing some songs and then go home. This is a daily trusting, daily walking, daily worshiping thing with God. David had it. Listen. And then he lost it. There are two seasons in his life, and the first was when he defeated Goliath. That's when the kid had it. The second season of his life, maybe you've heard the story, maybe you're new church, is when David and Bathsheba, there was a time in the scripture that says, when the kings go off to war, and David didn't. And he stayed home. When he should have gone, he didn't go. And then he went on the roof. He went to a place that he shouldn't have gone. Then he saw something he shouldn't have seen. He saw a woman bathing. And then he did something he shouldn't have done. He committed adultery with another man's wife and got her pregnant and then killed the husband. So listen, he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing. And then he did what he never should have done. And a whole bunch of people had to pay a cost they never should have had to pay. And it all began, listen, when David stopped spending time with God daily. He had it. And then he lost it. Let me compare and contrast the difference in David's life as a kid versus as an adult. And I want you to see this. It says that with enthusiasm, David ran into the battlefield to serve his God. And as a king, with apathy, David walked on the roof to serve his comfort. How does a man have so much spiritual enthusiasm as a kid, lose it as a king? The answer is simple. He took his eyes off his calling and he put it on his comfort. My question for you this morning is, which one best describes you? Which one best describes you? Are you on Theos? Are you full of encouragement, full of the Spirit of God, that no matter what the battle, no matter what the obstacle, no matter what the circumstance in our culture, you are encouraged because you are in God? Or do you find yourself taking a step back? You find yourself more apathetic. Are you on Theos, that no matter the battle, you're charging because you're trusting God, not just for tomorrow, but for today. Today, because daily you need to trust Him. Daily you want to walk with Him. Daily you want to worship Him. Or are you not doing the things that you once did? And you find yourself walking on the roof of comfort instead of charging into the battle to serve your God. David had it, and then he lost it. And this COVID season, as a pastor, I see very clearly this observation. There are two types of people. People have gone to two extremes after 21 weeks of being in shelter in place. The first extreme is people Even though they don't meet in a physical location to worship God, they're doing it in their home. That they're growing in faith. They're growing in worship. They're growing in the things of God. That they're walking every day with Him. They're worshiping Him every day. No matter the obstacle, no matter what the news, no matter what CNN and Fox News says, they are filled with hope and enthusiasm because they are walking with Him. And the other extreme. This is just my observation as a pastor. People don't naturally drift towards discipline. They don't drift towards good habits. They don't drift towards making the best decisions. This is why I gotta stop myself from eating Taco Bell every week. I gotta put in effort. Because we drift towards bad decisions. We drift towards apathy. We drift towards complacency. And for 21 weeks of not experiencing church in the physical location, people have developed habits. Not because they wanted to, but because they've drifted that way. Now we click a YouTube video once a month, and when we were once filled with hope and passion and the things of God, now we are filled with apathy and fear. Which one best describes you? Are you full of purpose, passion, enthusiasm for the things of God? Are you filled with doubt? Are you filled with fear? Do you not have those same rhythms you once did? David had it, and then he lost it. And the prophet Nathan comes to David and rebukes him in his sin. David has this crying out to God where he comes back, and it's very beautiful. It's recorded in Psalm 51. Read it with me. It says, "Create in me a pure heart, O Lord, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Restore." He's saying, "I had it once, God. Refill it, restore it, bring it back. I had it and I lost it, and I want it to come back, God. Renew the joy of your salvation. Restore the joy of your salvation and grant a willing spirit to sustain me." He knows he's lost it. He knows that season of his life where he had it, and now as a kid, and now as a king, he's lost it. And these are the exact similar words that Jesus prophetically preaches in Revelation 2 to the church in Ephesus. Jesus says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." A love that God describes our relationship, not through the rituals that we do, but the intimacy that we have.
Yeah.
In the same way that a husband buys his bae or his partner or his spouse, whatever language you use, flowers, and you put little cards and you buy them their favorite gifts, or you take them to their favorite restaurant, the things that you did at first, God's saying, those things that you naturally do in your other relationships, do them with me again. I love that God's not saying you have to do these things. You get to delight in doing them. Because it's a love relationship. It's not out of duty, but out of delight. Saying, do the things that you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Would you consider that this morning? Would you consider again the moment in your life where you were deeply and passionately walking with God, where you felt His presence every day? You knew He'd never leave you or forsake you, and now God feels distant. Now you're not excited about the things of God the way that you were. And I love that Jesus says, repent and do the things you did at first. And this word repent is not this big scary word in Christianity. It literally means just to change your mind, to change direction. If you're walking down this path, come back. And the more you repent in your life, the closer you get to Jesus. Come back to do what we did at first, where you walked with Him daily. Where you trusted Him daily, where you worshiped Him daily, not out of duty because you had to, but because you wanted to. There are two types of people. Those in this COVID season let fear and panic and the chaos of what's going on in our culture influence their attitude and their spiritual rhythms. And then there are others that no matter what is going on around them, they have the enthusiasm because they're in Theos, they're in God, and it's influencing their family, their friends, all of those around them. There are two types of people. There are those that are growing in their love of God, growing in their intimacy with Him, growing in the relationship with Him because they're filled with Him supernaturally. Give something to them in the presence and the power of God, not by natural willpower. And then there are those that had it and then lost it. And which one best describes you, church? I get asked this question a lot. Pastor Hallie, how do you keep your passion on all the time? Reality is, I don't. I'm just like you. I have bad days, bad weeks. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I walk on water, you know, eat rainbows and poop butterflies. Like, I have bad days. Like, in fact, it's actually worse because I'm the pastor. I get more opposition, more attacks, more oppression from the spirit realm than everyone else. If you strike the shepherd, the sheep scatter. They will definitely want to take me out. And then Pastor Ali, what do? I go back to when I was 24. And I remember where I was. I remember 3 or 4 times a year, I would do this. I still do this. For 15 years, let me tell you, I've been doing this. I'm not saying you gotta do this. I'm just letting you into my prayer closet to show my relationship, to show you the things that I do, to go back to do those things I did at first. See, when I was 24, I spent every Friday night and Saturday night in bars and clubs, and I would get my shirts dry clean because I wanted to look fresh. Come on. I was single, ready to mingle. How many know what I'm talking about? Then I met a Chili Pepper named Pastor Yasmin, and she changed everything. But before I met God, I would dress to impress. And as a 24-year-old, what do you give God when He's given you everything? You can never pay Him back. But I had this gratitude in my heart. Thanks be to God who delivered me from sin and death. And I'd take my favorite shirt, and I wouldn't tell anyone. And I'd put it on the side. I'd say, God, that shirt right there isn't for work. It's not for church. It's not even for my girlfriend or whoever. That one's for you. And even 15 years later, even after I'm married and have kids and I'm pastoring a church, 3 or 4 times a year, I go back to my closet and I'll move the shirt because it'll remind me to go do the things I did at first. And I'll get back into His presence and I'll worship Him again. And I'll get in His Word, and even though I'm filled with fear and doubt and anxiety, His Word will remind you that greater is He that is in you that is in the world. That I have nothing to fear, that when I'm afraid, I can trust in You, God. That God made me the head and not the tail. He made me above and not beneath. And it's one of those moments when I'm tired of work, I'm tired of COVID, that I remember it's not what I do that matters, it's who I'm doing it for. So no matter what I'm doing, whether I'm helping set up or I'm just preaching a sermon, I do it for Him. It doesn't matter if I'm giving a 4-minute testimony. I'm never going to complain because of what He did for me. And I remember where I was. And I remember who He is. And I remember what He did for me. There are 2 types of people. Those that let their circumstances influence their enthusiasm. And then there are those that get in the presence of God and Theos, and they let their enthusiasm influence their circumstance. I can tell you honestly, the light that God has put in me is brighter than any darkness in this world. And I just believe that we have a church that needs to get in Theos. Now, we don't need to try harder and work harder. We need to get in His presence because He wants to do something supernatural, because this dark world needs the light of Jesus. Let me pray. Father God, thank You so much, God, for what You are doing in this faith community, Lord. God, no matter where people are watching from their home, their living room, the car, on their computer, God, I pray that You would infuse them with Your presence today. If that's where you are right now, and you would say honestly and truthfully, God, I had it, Pastor Ali, but I lost it. There was a season where I was on fire for God, walking with Him daily, trusting Him daily, worshiping Him daily. But somewhere along the way during this COVID season, I lost it, and I want it back. I want it back. I want it back. If that's you, just no matter where you are in your living room or your car, or your home, or your bedroom, just raise your hand and pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I ask right now that You would fill that room with the presence of God, that You would help us do what we did at first, not out of duty, God, but out of delight. Thank You, God, for setting us free from sin and death. Because of who You are, God, and what You've done, may we work enthusiastically to serve You in all that we do. And there are others of you watching at home, if I could just be very transparent and honest, you don't have that enthusiasm in your life. You've been reading the best self-help books, you've gone to different gurus, and you want that encouragement, that joy that doesn't make sense. And I'm telling you, no book, no guru, no spiritual helper can give you that. You can't manufacture it. You can never earn it. It's a gift that God gives. And if you ever felt guilty for doing something bad, where does that come from? It comes from when we do something bad. And the scriptures are super clear that our God is holy. And sin separates us from Him, and all of sin, not just you, even me, no effort can get us right in standing with Him. No energy, no visiting a holy land, no visiting a holy life or doing holy things. It is impossible for us to get right with God, because God loves us. When He knew we couldn't get to Him, He sent His Son to come to us. And the gospel is good news, that God sent His Son to live the life that we couldn't live. And Jesus died the death that we couldn't die. And no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, if you just call on the name of Jesus, no matter what you did last night, it doesn't matter. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord, God will forgive. God will make new. God does not make bad people good. He makes dead people come alive. And then He fills you with your Spirit. He gives you His Spirit so that you may be in Theos, in God. And if that's you this morning, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, would you want to pray this prayer with me? Would you just raise your hand in your room? Would you type it in the chat room? Would you click that button and say, I want to receive Christ? If that's you, let maybe all pray this prayer together. Heavenly Father, pray this prayer with me, church. Come on, Heavenly Father. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, save me. Change me and make me new. Fill me with your Spirit. So that I can walk with you. Trust you every day. And walk with you daily. My life is not my own. I give it all to you. Help me, God. That no matter what I do, I would do it enthusiastically for you. Because you saved me. Because you gave your life for me. I give you mine. For everyone who raised their hand, we want to celebrate and say praise God for that decision. For the rest of you, what is your next step, church? For some of you, you have a private faith. It's time to go public with baptism. Sign up. We would love to baptize you. Yes, even in COVID. For some of you, you've been doing Christianity alone. You've been watching YouTube videos, and you need to get in around others who are in Theos, in the Spirit and the presence of God. And you deal with groups. Don't do Christianity alone. And there are others of you, you've been coming for a while. You've been watching secretly. We don't know who you are. Come on now. But you love this church. Your next step is Growth Track. Growth Track is awesome because it helps you discover the two best days of your life. The day you were born and the day you discover why. Growth Track helps you discover your why, on why God created you and how He's purposed you to make a difference in this world. And this is our time for our offering. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? God, thank you so much, Lord, that even when we walk away, even when we forsake our first love, you with open arms say, come back, repent. I'm here waiting to take you back. God, would you use this offering, not because we're trying to earn your love, God, but because we already have it in the most unchurched region in the entire country, God. Thank you so much for what you're doing, the miracles that happen here in this church. God, would you use this offering to make your name great? And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Be blessed, church.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope this message impacted you and inspires you to draw closer to Jesus. Subscribe to this podcast and give us a follow on Instagram at Centerset Church to keep up with all that God is doing in our community. Also, we'd love to be in prayer with you. If you have any prayer requests, please send them to info@centerset.church.